Hi, and welcome to the first real episode of the Best of Patina podcast. I have to admit that I tried recording this episode yesterday about 27 times until I finally gave up and concluded that that wasn't the day for me to record. So here I am again today, hoping it'll be a little bit more successful this time, which I'm assuming it will be if you're listening to this. In today's episode, I want to share with you my eating disorder story. I was diagnosed with anorexia when I was 15 years old, and what really helped me back then was hearing other people's stories, hearing how other people had been ill, how they really had been at the bottom, and seeing and hearing how they really also had gotten out of it and were living so-called normal lives, at least not lives that were dominated by the eating disorder. And ever since then, I always knew that one day I also wanted to share my story to hopefully be able to help others in the same way, because I also think that people should speak about it more openly and bravely just share and not feel so ashamed and not have to feel so alone in it, because you're not. And also another reason why I want to share my story is that I want to also be an example of how you actually can recover. You can make a full recovery, even if it really feels hard and difficult. And you might hear others who say they've recovered, but think that's not going to happen for me because it just feels so hard and difficult. Trust me, I was also there. And if I recovered, then I promise, so can you. It's not going to be easy, but it's possible. So I'm going to share today a little bit of what my life looked like before I developed an eating disorder, what it looked like when I was getting ill and when I was ill, how I got treatment and what kind of treatment I got, and what maybe in my case helped and what maybe didn't help so much, and also what life can be like after an eating disorder, because there really is a life out there and a life that's so much better. Even if I've been wanting to share this for long and I know I want to share it, I have to say that I'm a little bit nervous still, because it's quite personal information, and I've never really shared about it in this much detail, at least not in public. But I want to, because I hope, and I hope it can help those that are struggling, but also those that are not, but they have someone close to them that maybe has an eating disorder, and maybe hearing my story and what I went through and what I was thinking and how I felt can help broaden someone's knowledge about eating disorders and understanding of what it can actually look like, and not just what's been said in the books, kind of. But before I get into my story, I just want to emphasize still that I'm not an expert in the area. I'm simply sharing my experiences and my story. So everybody's story will be different. Everybody's illness, everybody's recovery, everybody's treatment. And you shouldn't take what I say as a cold, hard fact or truth. It's what happened in my case, and it's how I felt. It's how it's what I went through. It's how I was treated. But for sure, everybody's story will look a little bit different. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a psychiatrist or a doctor. I'm not speaking about the illness from this angle. I'm just speaking about it from my experience. And I won't be sharing any specific advice individually to people of what to do or what not to do, but I'll happily share resources that I think might be useful for getting the appropriate treatment. If you, for example, you can message me on Instagram at bestofbettina. I'll happily do that and hopefully be able to help you in reaching out for help. So let's get to it. First, a little bit of my background or childhood, way before I developed any signs of an eating disorder. I was a really happy girl. I was social. I had friends. I did well in school. I had the most loving and supporting family. I still have. Basically, there was nothing I could have thought I wanted more. I had everything good, or everything was really good. I did a lot of sports. I had a healthy appetite. I loved and enjoyed cooking and baking, and I enjoyed treats without even thinking twice. Eventually, I actually also had a 10.0 GPA in school, which is in Finland the best that you can have, despite anybody ever demanding me to have good grades in school. Like, I remember my friends would tell me that they would get 10 euros or something, or a bag of candy if they did well in a test or in their school reports. But I never had any of that. Nobody ever demanded anything of me. It was just myself. If anything, my loved ones were trying to encourage me to chill and not do so well always, and not always have to just perform and reach for perfection and be the best. So when a lot of people were jealous of me or of how I did in school, especially now that I look back at it, I would turn it the other way around and think that I envy the people's lives that don't have this need to perform and always be the best, and they do okay, but they also have a life outside of school or whatever it is they're reaching for. Of course, this wasn't enough, because as soon as I reached my standards of perfection in this, I started to reach for something else. So in my case, it started being my eating disorder. I started wanting to have, when I was done with having the perfect grades, okay, next thing, I need to have the perfect so-called perfect body. And I started obsessing about that. But before I really started developing signs of my eating disorder, at 13 years old, I was diagnosed with celiac disease, which, for those of you that don't know, it's not really an allergy. It's actually an autoimmune disease where my body lacks an antibody that can break down gluten in my body. So essentially, I have to be gluten-free. That's the treatment to it. But back then, being gluten-free wasn't really known of or as trendy as it is today. Like, people in Finland, at least, everybody knew about celiac disease, and it's quite common here, but it wasn't that easy to find good gluten-free foods, especially bread or pastries and baked things that used a lot of flour, because the gluten-free flour back then wasn't so good. So this was an easy excuse for me to blame the beginning of when I started losing weight, that it's just because of my celiac disease and it's just so difficult to find food, and people were worried about me, yes, but definitely not by any eating disorder standards. It was more of just kind of like feeling pity that I couldn't eat yummy foods. And I don't think the celiac disease is linked to the eating disorder in any other way, but it was the first time that I remember that I started looking at different foods and looking at packagings, because I had to look what had gluten in it and what didn't, and I had to start learning about different food groups and food types and looking at my diet in that way. But it wasn't until I was 14 years old that I remember for the first time that I actually started hating my body and actively wanting to lose weight. I had heard about eating disorders or anorexia, but still, like, never in my wildest imagination did I ever think that was something that would happen to me. I just kind of thought of eating disorders as this, I don't know, illness that models have, and I didn't know anybody in my surroundings that had actually had something like that. And around 14, I had hit puberty a little bit earlier than most of my friends. So I started developing a little bit more shapes on my body. Definitely nothing out of the ordinary. I was always healthy and within the normal weight range. I was never even near of being obese or having to think of actually having to have to lose weight or anything like that. But I still started just comparing myself to everyone else around me, and also, I guess, wanting to fit in. And you know, at that age, you have your drama in your friendship groups, and people are kind of finding their places, and friends change. And I was going through a lot of that, just normal teenager stuff. And it was around those times that I actively started thinking of losing a little bit of weight. Back then, Instagram didn't exist, or probably existed, but I didn't have an account. It wasn't a big thing yet. Nobody in my friend group was using it, so I didn't get like pressures off social media. But instead, I remember reading magazines and looking at magazine covers and comparing myself to all the girls that were on them or women, and thinking that I also wanted to look like that. And that's kind of the standard, and that's what I have to look like to be successful and to be liked and be good enough, which so isn't true, but that's what my mind was telling me. And around those times, I started trying or reading about different ways that celebrities would exercise and they would eat, and all these like crazy diets that obviously I could never stick to because they were insane and nobody should be able to stick to them. But then I got into this negative spiral of like every time that I would fail in one of my crazy diets, I just felt like even more of a failure. Like I already felt like a failure because I didn't like the way I looked, and I thought that I wasn't good enough and I didn't fit in. And again, this was all just in my head. Nobody around me ever said that I wasn't good enough or I wasn't skinny enough or that I would have been too big or anything like that. It was just demands from my own head and from my own mind. It was just demands from myself. But then it just led me to feel just like a failure on top of another failure on top of another failure. And I just gave myself an even harder time each time that I thought I failed again at changing my body. And then I remember a moment in spring of 2010, it would have been. It was early spring. I think I had just turned 15 in March. And I just decided, I remember that evening still. And I just decided that now I've had it. Now I'm going to actually stick to one of these diets and exercise plans. And now I'm actually going to be more disciplined and not so weak of like always thinking I always failed. And still at this stage, all I thought was that I just wanted to, you know, trim up a little, lose a little bit of softness, have a six pack and just be as slim as my friends or the girls on the magazine covers. Like that's all that I wanted. I just wanted to have a nice summer, you know, with a six pack on the beach. But then things escalated, and they escalated very, very quickly. After that decision, in the following 2 months, I lost a lot of weight. I won't share how much I weighed before, or how much I weighed after, or how much I lost, because that's irrelevant and I don't think it's good for people to be comparing, because there's always going to be someone that will have weighed more or less. Or I remember that's what I was doing. I was also kind of comparing, especially at my sickest, that, okay, I'm really anorexic, but there's someone that weighs even less than me and someone that looks even skinnier than me. It's never good enough. And that's the problem. It's if you feed into your anorexia, you're never going to be happy, because there's always going to be the next thing. And it's just hard to realize, because I was also kind of saying, okay, when I've reached this certain weight, then I'll be happy. And then I'll just stop. Then I'll eat a little bit more. But then when I reach that, it just like it started feeding me even more. And I got into this like crazy and sick way of thinking of like being so proud that, oh, I've made it all the way here. And what else can I do? And maybe I can do a little bit more. And I remember I started weighing myself every single day, and the number on the scale determined my mood for the day. It determined if I thought of myself as successful or as having failed, or if the weight was going down, that was great. But if it wasn't, then my God, I was angry. I was so frustrated. I would be so frustrated all day. I tried to compensate to lose like now even a little bit more extra, and it was just awful. But it wasn't just my physical appearance that was changing. It was maybe even more my personality. I used to be this social and happy and energetic and outgoing girl, and now all of a sudden I wasn't. I started isolating myself. I became angry, irritable, frustrated, manipulative, which definitely wasn't anything that I had been before. I was always very honest, still am today. And it was just people stopped recognizing me. And I had some teachers at school already at those early stages that pulled me aside and asked me and checked in with me of if everything is okay and what's going on. And again, I just blamed it on a little bit of stress in school. And again, this celiac disease, that it was hard for me to find foods that I could eat, that's probably why I've lost weight. Like, whoopsie, I haven't even noticed. And I stopped going to all these things with my friends because my anorexia started controlling my mind and all my activities, what I would do and what I wouldn't do. And if there was any sort of scenario where there might be food involved that I didn't want to eat, I would not go simply because I didn't want to risk actually having to eat that food. Like I would stop going to sleepovers with my friends because I knew there would be candy and I didn't know how I would get out of not having to eat it. And I just stopped spending time with my friends as well because all that I wanted to do in my free time was exercise. Or plan my foods or obsess about that. And it's still a little bit scary for me to share things like this. Still to this day, there's a little bit of shame in when I speak about these things because it's almost as if I'm speaking of another person because this person wasn't me. I can't recognize this person at all. But I remember one time when I went home from school and I had some time to kill. So I just stopped at a grocery store and I started just looking at different labels just to learn the calories of some food groups and food types and products, just to be prepared for if I would be somewhere and someone would serve me that specific food, I would be able to know and count the calories of it. That's how sick your mind gets. I was afraid to chew chewing gum. I was afraid to put on moisturizer. I didn't want to drink sparkling water because I was fearing that all these for sure have some sort of hidden calories to make me fat. And it's so surreal to think that I have been thinking like that or that anyone would think like that. But that's just showing how twisted the illness can be and that it is actually an illness. I would never think those things today. I was never thinking those things before. But I hope that by sharing these things and opening up about just my story in general, and also about these particular detailed examples, maybe it can help others also realize the severity of the illness and that it's not anything to play around with and that it is actually serious. And then I remember the school nurse approached me and wanted to see me. And this was probably around May. And at this stage, I knew myself that it wasn't normal how I was behaving. So when the school nurse approached me, there was already like one part of me kind of feeling a little bit of relief of someone taking me to the side and offering to help. But I was so deep already in the illness that I didn't want to let anyone intervene with my behavior. And then the school nurse asked or said she had noticed that I had lost quite a lot of weight and if everything was okay. And again, first thing I would say is it's just hard to find foods because of my celiac disease and everything is okay. And then she recommended me to visit a nutritionist because of my celiac disease. I had already seen one before. I agreed to it, but not with an intention that I would actually change my habits. I just said yes. And the nutritionist that she assigned me to wasn't a nutritionist for celiac disease. It was a nutritionist at an eating disorder clinic. And I remember when I saw that, I still didn't fight. I didn't argue. I didn't say that I wouldn't go. I still went nicely, but probably my anorexia was kind of thinking, okay, we'll go and I'll just learn even a more of what they say, but I won't do that and all of that. And I remember when I actually went there and the nutritionist started using these words like eating disorder and really being quite blunt about it, that clearly I had an issue. And I was a little bit weirded out of like, what's going on? And still everything went so quickly. And the nutritionist also recommended me to see a therapist. And so I did also at this place that was specified for eating disorder treatment. And I don't really remember anything from that first therapy session. If I think back at it now, I just remember it being like very gray and dark and grainy. And I remember when I sat in that chair, I just cried the whole first time. I don't know if I said a word. I pretty much just cried because I was so A, tired, but also B, like scared and frightened that it had gotten this far and I just couldn't stop. And that was all I wanted. And I remember the therapist told me that it takes on average 8 years to recover from an eating disorder. That's the first thing I remember her saying, 8 years. And at that stage, I was like, oh boy, where have I gotten myself into? And it was like the past 2 months were just like a blur and I didn't want to be here. I just wanted to go back in time and not have let it gotten this far. And around these times, I also started realizing that I wasn't just playing around with my life. It was also impacting the people around me, my family and my friends. And I started feeling really, really guilty for that. And around these times also, the school nurse had also assigned me for a checkup with the doctor just to check some of my values and do an EKG for my heart rate. And I remember being in school one day. It was a gym class that we had. I wasn't allowed to exercise at this point, so I was just sitting in a corner watching the rest. And I got a call from home saying that the results were in and they were pretty bad and that I had to come home straight away and we have to rush to the doctor. And so I rushed home. I drove home on my scooter. I remember I was crying under my helmet and we went to the doctor, very frightened just by it all. And still all of this was completely new to me and my family that we were at this point. And we went to the doctor and the biggest concern was that the results from my EKG were really bad. So my heart rate was very, very low. And the doctor looked at them and said that, oh, there's nothing to worry about. Lasse Wirén, who's a famous Finnish long distance runner who won the Olympics I think a few times. He said Lasse Wirén also ran the Olympics with a low heart rate like yours. Like, you're athletic, you do athletics, you're sporty, you're slim, nothing to worry about. And I was also a little bit in shock. And I think so was everyone around me, because we were getting this information and I had already started treatment essentially for my eating disorder, and things were really bad. And I did also look very ill already at this stage, even though that's not the whole truth of an eating disorder. And you can also have an eating disorder when you don't look like a skeleton. But you could clearly see in this case that I wasn't well. And so we were all a little bit weirded out and just went home kind of back to normal, and everyone around me still worrying so much. But what this did to my eating disorder was actually telling me that clearly I wasn't sick enough. Clearly there was still a long way to go for me to be anorexic enough in a way. So we were kind of in this weird situation where I didn't really know if I was entitled to help. Was I even ill? And what was going to happen next? And I remember times where I would wake up and my mom was next to me checking if I was still breathing, because she was so worried. And one night I remember I had to take this medicine for something completely different one evening. And I was so weak that my body couldn't handle it. And I fainted. And with all these warning signs, kind of the sicker I was, the happier my eating disorder was, because I was getting more and more anorexic. And it kept going on like this for a few more weeks. And the situation was just getting worse and worse. And I remember I wanted to stop, but I just couldn't. And I had read from a magazine that a certain celebrity was doing X amount of abs every day. So I also had to do X amount of abs every day. And in the end, I started locking myself into the bathroom so that I could do them and nobody would walk in on me and tell me not to do them. And every day and week that passed, I just started feeling the bathroom floor hurt my spine so much, because I was becoming so skinny. But I was so obsessed of doing these abs every single day, whether it was day or night, I had to do them. And it wasn't until early June when we finally got a call from another nurse who had taken a look at my file and concluded that it was crucial for me to come into the hospital right now and be admitted. And I remember I got the call in the morning and I was just waking up, and we would go in the afternoon, and I was still a little bit confused of what was going on. And I was kind of just thinking like, okay, I'm going to be admitted in a hospital for my eating disorder all summer. Like, how did it get here? And I knew I needed to go, but I really didn't want to go. One part was that, well, my eating disorder obviously didn't want me to go, because I knew they would make me eat more. But also, I had already started treatment with my nutritionist and my therapist, and I really trusted them. But clearly, it wasn't enough for my physical condition at that stage. And I remember going to the hospital, and that was one of the worst afternoons in my life. It was so difficult. And I think that's the frustrating part, that nobody around you can do anything to help. It has to come from you. You have to have support around you and the right treatment. But it's still mostly you who has to do the work. So I was admitted into just a regular hospital. It wasn't an eating disorder clinic or specified in eating disorders. And because I was still 15 years old, it was actually like a ward or department or section for children. And the reason why I had to be there was because my heart rate was becoming so slow, and they were actually worried that my heart would literally stop beating. And so I had to be monitored around the clock, especially at night when there was an even higher risk of my heart quite literally stopping, which is so scary and weird for me to still say that it was actually that serious. And I remember still here, I was a little bit in denial of wanting to admit this to people around me, and I didn't want anyone to know that I was in the hospital. And I guess in a way, luckily, it was summer, so there was no school, so I didn't have to explain why I wasn't in school, and I could kind of just spend this summer focusing on my recovery and getting the right treatment and feeling better. But what made it tricky in the hospital was probably that it wasn't specialized in eating disorders or even mental health. Like, nobody took the illness for what it really was. All of them only focused on my physical condition and the values and my weight, which for sure was a very important and at the time crucial thing to focus on. But I didn't really get the help that I needed emotionally there from the hospital staff. And I had already started my therapy with someone that wasn't working in this hospital. And even that was difficult for them to understand, that I needed to still see her. In the end, we managed to make it work. But a lot of times I had the feeling that they were all just looking at me and wondering why I just can't eat. I mean, the cure is so simple. Just eat more, gain weight, then you can go home. And there I did eat what they wanted me to eat, but it was difficult. It was so difficult and it was so hard. And I had so much anxiety, but I felt like I couldn't show it to them because if I did, they didn't understand. I'll never forget the first night that I was there. There was this one nurse I had dinner with, and I really struggled that dinner. And the look she gave me when I told her that it was difficult was awful. It was like she was looking at me like I'm the dumbest person in the whole wide world, and why do I even deserve to be here when there are people that have actual difficulties and I'm just struggling to eat. That's how I felt. And the other difficult thing there was that it was summertime, is that the doctors kept changing like all the time, sometimes every day. And one doctor would tell me that when the results look like this or your weight is like this, then you can go home and continue your treatment there. And then I would work so hard to reach that weight or whatever it was. And when I reached it, another doctor would look at my files and conclude that there is no way I'm going home. Because obviously the situation looks very bad when someone takes a look at it for the first time, even if there has been like a 1% improvement, it still was very bad. But it was so hard for me to build all that hope of thinking I would be able to go home soon, and then just taking away all of that, like all that kept me going was thinking that I could go home soon. I was so homesick and I wanted to get better. I really did. And I wanted to work towards it, but with people that actually understood what I was going through, and not this hospital staff, but instead keep working with my therapist and nutritionist that I had already built trust and a connection with, and with whom I could go in and explain what I was feeling and not feel ashamed of if it felt difficult to eat a potato at dinner or something really small like this, which at times felt extremely difficult. And of course, my mind was telling me that it's the food that's causing the anxiety, and using that kind of like as a place to put your anxiety towards. But I mean, of course, it's about a lot much bigger than just a potato, but that's what it was feeling like, all of this illness. Or I used food as a tool or a place where I put all my anxiety. And to my therapist and my nutritionist, I could explain all these things and not feel like I was being judged. And because I was allowed to do that, I also was a lot more willing to work with them and to work towards recovering. And one big thing this summer when I was at the hospital was this summer camp or a confirmation camp, we call it in Finland, which is a big thing that you do when you're 15. It's essentially just like a big fun summer camp, but you wait the whole year, if not even more years, for it. And all my best friends were going, and this was maybe a couple of weeks away from when I was first admitted to the hospital, and I was still feeling confident that I would attend. And I think the first doctor also told me that most likely I can if I keep eating and I get a little better by then. And when that time came, I had done exactly what they wanted me to do. I ate every single crumb they wanted me to, even in tears and crying. I did it because I wanted to, well, A, go to the summer camp so bad, but also B, go home. And when the time came for the summer camp, I had a new doctor that didn't think it was a good idea for me to go. And I remember at the time it crushed my world, not only because I was afraid of missing the camp, but I think at that time it also hit me that if I didn't go, everybody would wonder why I wasn't there. And I felt like I would have to tell them, or they would find out from somewhere that I'm in the hospital in treatment for my anorexia. And I felt so ashamed. And in the end, we came into an agreement that I was allowed to go for the days. Someone would have to drive me there and back. It was only about 30 minutes away, if even that, from the hospital. So it wasn't very far, but I would always have to return to the hospital for the night when the risk was highest for my heart to slow down, even literally stop. I would have to sleep in a heart monitor for them to ensure that that didn't happen, or if it was about to happen, that and that they could do their best to prevent that from happening. Overall, my anxiety in the hospital was just starting to skyrocket because it just started feeling so hopeless. And no matter what I did, I always felt that the doctors didn't keep their word on what they had promised me. If I did these things, that then I could go home. And while it was crucial physically, again, I want to emphasize that, it definitely didn't benefit me mentally or emotionally. If anything, quite the opposite. And still to this day, if I have to drive by the hospital or go there for something different, I still get chills. Eventually, everyone around me started seeing that it wasn't doing good for me mentally. At the end, every single night, I just cried myself to sleep. I don't know if I even slept. I cried at every single meal, and it was just so awful. So as soon as it was physically possible for me to go home from the hospital, I did, and I spent the summer at home with my family around me and going to regular therapy and continuing my treatment there, and of course going back to the hospital for checkups, and sometimes I would have to stay the night. But I was so determined of never, ever, ever wanting to get back into the hospital that I think that worked as a motivator for me to actually get better, because I didn't want to get into the state where I would have to be put back there, because it was one of the hardest things that I've ever gone through, I think. Or I don't even think, I know. I was thinking actually long about this, whether I wanted to share it or not, or if it's too detailed or triggering for someone, but I decided that for the sake of the people around someone with an eating disorder, I do want to share it, because I want to give an example of what it can be like if you don't monitor them, or if you believe in them too much, because how manipulative the illness can be, and that all it thinks about is coming up ways to control your food, control your exercise and your weight. And if it wants to find a way, then it will do everything to try to find a way. And even if I'm an honest person, in reality, during that time, I wasn't. And well, it wasn't me who wasn't being honest. I like to think of it as like the anorexia wasn't me, because it wasn't. the anorexic side of me started being so manipulative. Truth be told, you shouldn't trust someone who's that ill saying they won't do something that they actually will. And also to emphasize the point that the time at the hospital was actually doing me more harm mentally than it was doing good, because all I was thinking that, okay, if they're not gonna work with me and they keep telling me things that won't happen, I'll get the weight as high as they want it to be by eating. And then when I come home, I want to lose this and double. I started being so angry and so not feeling like I was heard that I didn't even want to work with them. Whereas if I think of how I was feeling towards my nutritionist and my therapist, I really wanted to work with them because I had built a trust with them and they understood and they made me feel heard and valid, and that I wasn't just playing around seeking attention. After the hospital, the summer was going okay. I was definitely doing a lot better than at the hospital, and it was still a lot of ups and downs, but I was working again more closely with my nutritionist, and together we built a meal plan that I would follow. And we both agreed that that's what I would eat during a day, no more and no less. And that meal plan was designed to slowly make my weight go up. And slowly it did. And for sure, it wasn't always easy. But because I had that trust and respect towards my nutritionist, as well as my therapist, I worked really hard to be able to maintain that. And then we slowly and gradually build it up from there. And after summer, school was starting again. And at this stage, everybody knew that I was struggling with my anorexia. And I guess this is also where my determination comes in handy, because in the same way as I had been determined to lose weight, I was really, really, really determined now to gain weight and get better and focus on my recovery. And I had made that decision after this horrible, horrible summer that this is not the life that I want to live. And this is also not what I want to keep putting people close to me through all the time, and also seeing them struggle, because of course it also affects people around you. And I kept going to therapy regularly, once or twice a week, and also starting to dare to speak a little bit more openly about it and tell my friends that this is what I was going through and not have to feel ashamed of, for example, going to therapy when I didn't know anybody of my friends, for example, that would go. And I think therapy was the thing that saved me. It was for sure the biggest factor in my recovery. But I think it's very important to find the best therapist for you, the one that you have a good connection with. Luckily for me, this time it happened with the first one I tried, and I was able to build a good connection with her and a safe space where I didn't feel ashamed to talk about my anxiety towards food, for example. And I think within a year from I was admitted to the hospital, I was back to my so-called normal weight range, and I had physically recovered. I remember the first time that I got my period back, which was a big thing that all the doctors were waiting for, and using that kind of like as a sign that now you've reached a good weight because your body can function normally and you're getting your period, which obviously was gone for like a year. And that was actually a quite difficult thing to go through, or to kind of like admit that, okay, this means that I'm not anorexic anymore, on paper at least. Or does this now mean that I'm not allowed to struggle with food anymore and I should be better and I should feel well? Whereas on the other hand, I was really happy that it came, because it meant that I had made huge steps in my recovery. But I think that's when the doctors kind of concluded that you're doing better, you're back to a healthy normal weight, maybe you'll still gain some, maybe not, just let it see where it goes, and you know, that's it. Come back in 6 months for just a checkup. And for sure, mentally, I wasn't fully healed, like, at all. It probably took years to kind of make a full recovery in my mind. And I don't think there's, like, a specific time and place where I remember feeling that, wow, today, now I have recovered from my eating disorder. It just kind of happened with time and gradually with, for sure, many, many years of work. The main point I want to make is that, again, you can recover and it just takes time. And I don't know if it was true what the therapist said, that 8 years is the average. Maybe it was that, maybe it was a bit less, maybe even more. Like, I don't really have an answer to that. And I don't think you should focus too much on that it has to take that many years. It can be a lot less, or in an unfortunate situation, maybe it can be more. But I'm positive that you can recover from an eating disorder. And I was myself being quite worried when I was hearing a lot of these things of people saying that, oh, once you've had an eating disorder, it will always stay with you to some extent, and you'll always kind of think like that. And I was like, I don't want to think like this forever. And let me tell you, you won't. You don't have to. Yes, it will always stay with me to some extent, in that extent that I have gone through it and it's kind of like a scar that I have, and it's a story to tell, but it's in my past. And I can't say that I would never get sick again, but in that case, it's a whole other story. And it's just as likely that it happens to me that it would happen to the person next to me. And today, I don't weigh myself. Sometimes I eat more, sometimes less. I don't follow a meal plan anymore. I don't have to. I've done things that I never in my wildest dreams thought I would do. I've started ventures. I've been in love. I've been heartbroken. And yes, I've also gone through some difficult things in my life that weren't related to my eating disorder and still caused me a lot of pain. But I would any day of the year take that hurt of the normal ups and downs that everyone will have in their life, because they're just a sign that I lived and I put myself out there. For example, if I loved someone and I got more heartbroken, it's not fun, but it's a sign that I actually lived. Whereas with an eating disorder, you're just all the time in pain and hurting and like you're in prison and you're not even living. And I wish that people would take the illness seriously and for what it really is, and emphasize that it's a mental illness, and also that there's no shame in it being a mental illness, or even if it's not really about food, it's not gonna get better without food. You have to eat and it's gonna be difficult. I seriously had to relearn how to eat at 15. And still saying that out loud gives me like a little bit of a feeling of shame. And what I hope for the future is that people with mental illnesses or eating disorders wouldn't have to feel this shame. I think I'll make a whole separate episode of what my life has looked like after an eating disorder, because this episode is already getting quite long. But just still to add to the ending, I wanted to address something that I'm asked quite often, is that would I change what I went through, or would I take it away if I could? And it's a tough question, because obviously I can't change it, so I don't really want to think too much of what ifs. And for sure, yes, it has made me a stronger person and more appreciative of my life right now. But with that being said, I think there are also other ways to learn these skills, and it shouldn't require having to go through an eating disorder or any other illness, I don't think. And let's just say it's definitely not anything that I would wish even upon my worst enemy. Like, maybe I can turn it into a positive thing because I did go through it, and I am a positive person, so I choose to see the positives in it. Whew, okay, I think that was it for now. Thanks so much for listening all the way through if you made it here, which I guess you did if you're hearing this. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at bestofpatina for more updates and content. And there you can also send me any questions or feedback, good or bad, or any wishes that you have for episodes or topics you'd like to cover. Or if you just want to say hi, then shoot me a message and we'll talk. And feel free to share your experiences with me if you have anything you're wondering. But just, again, a reminder, I'm not here to give you any specific advice, but if you have any questions, then I'll happily guide you in the right direction for getting the help that you need. So I guess I'll speak to you again next week.